This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:47 a.m. Monday the 30th of November. And it appears that sources within Pakatan Harapan told Malay Mail that opposition leader Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has pleaded with allies to give him one more week to prove that he commands the majority in the Dewan Rakyat or he will step down from leading the coalition.
However, the PKR president has refuted these claims and told Ashraf Awani that these were irresponsible actions made to create confusion. All of this comes after Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim's surprise claim in September that he had a formidable, convincing majority. These revelations were put to the test last Thursday after the budget voting when the opposition opted out of a bloc vote that would have that could have defeated PN's budget and triggered the collapse of the current federal government. So a lot of questions have come up around Dato' Sri Anwar's leadership, and we've got a poll running on Twitter right now where 55% think that he should that the opposition needs a new bloc leader.
Yes, so we're going to be looking at the results of that in more detail in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, we have on the line with us Dr. Oi Sun, Senior Fellow of the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, to give us a bit more insight. Oi Sun, thank you so much for joining us. So given what happened last week, do you think that Anwar still has the ability to gain a majority in Parliament? What are some of the possible moves that he might still have in his arsenal?
Well, nowadays we have a very fragmented political landscape in Malaysia. So any sort of political combination and permutation is indeed still very much possible. I think last week's less than impressive performance on Anwar's side, I think that was mainly due to, for example, the UMNO backbenchers backing out of a deal with him almost at the last moment. So because, well, he needed them to, in order to trigger a majority. But, well, when they back out of that deal, he would have to, in a sense, concede, I mean, at least tactically. And now, of course, many of Pakatan's supporters are blaming him for not really going through with the purported voting down of the budget and so on. But in the days to come, for example, this very fragile alliance between the UMNO backbenchers and Muhyiddin or Bersatu, I think that would still be subject to various possible changes. And as those changes come to be, I think Anwar and by extension Pakatan will still have a chance. Yeah.
Isan, do you think that he, even if he didn't have the numbers, do you think he should have participated in the bloc vote to call for the tally of the votes?
Well, if he did so and he did not have the number to topple Muhyiddin, then, as he said, he would show his cards, right? And then his reputation, his credibility and so on would be, I think, hit even harder, because then people would have a sense of finality saying, oh, yeah, see, he didn't have the majority and therefore, let's just accept that Muhyiddin would still lead this country. That, that sort of defeatist mood, I think, will be very harmful on Anwar's side.
If he fails to gain a majority as promised, should he step down as opposition leader?
Well, in the, shall we say, the British Westminster tradition, he should definitely do so. But nowadays, we adopt the Westminster tradition, shall we say, very selectively, right? Like, even the motion of confidence, if you are in the United Kingdom, those kind of motions would come even before government business. But of course, here, the motions of confidence are relegated to the end of the agenda, parliamentary agenda, and often, or not often, forever, not brought to a true debate and vote. So, well, I mean, I don't think he would like to step down, shall we say.
But if he does, I mean, he said that he isn't looking, that he's refuted these claims by the sources that told him Le Mail. But aside from Anwar Ibrahim, who might potentially take the helm as opposition leader within Pakatan Harapan?
Well, I think that's really a $6 million question, right? within Anwar's party, with the departure of Azmin, I don't think there's at the moment a leader with the same level of reputation as Anwar. If you were to go beyond PKR, let's say to DAP and so on, then of course you immediately run into the SEMO racial question, right? It has to be a Malay, because there should not be a Chinese, and so on. If you go to Amana is a small party, right? Its leader may have a problem leading the whole coalition. Yeah.
And when we take a look at the situation within the opposition bloc at its present, I mean, mm-hmm. we like to look at Pakatan Harapan as one cohesive unit, but they've largely not been like that. What is your take on the relationship between the three big parties, as you mentioned, the Amana, DAP and PKR? Has it been strained on the back of everything we've seen this year?
Definitely, because they were ruling parties, right? And then suddenly they are relegated back to being the opposition parties. And that, of course, created a certain tension. And then Anwar's sometimes unorthodox moves, as was the case last week, like changing his mind in the last moment and so on, that, of course, did not also go well. Sometimes the leadership of those parties, let's say the senior leadership of DAP and so on, they might still be able to understand and work with Anwar. But let's say the rank and file of DAP, if you read all those online comments and so on, they are really like chastising not only Anwar, but also their own senior leaders, right? So sometimes the tension is not only between the various component parties, but even within, let's say, a single component parties. Yeah.
If GE is called early next year, the general elections, what is the likely outcome?
Number one, I think GE would be held, of course, when all these pandemic happenings are safely subsiding, right? Number two, I think the likely outcome would, I can only make perhaps one safe prediction, and that is UMNO would probably win many more seats than it did in 2018. As to the performance of other parties, I think they would at most perform as well as they did in 2018. Yes.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Ihsan. That was Dr. Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, with a bit of a look at Pakatan Harapan in the wake, particularly of the budget policy vote that happened at the end of last week. But I think his point there that now without Azmin Ali in PKR, the fact that Pakatan Harapan doesn't really have any kind of designated second in line just goes to show that we have this succession problem even within government, and the fact that we don't have a deputy prime minister.
I think that's the theme of politics, right? Where's the next generation of leaders? We don't have a deputy prime minister. We don't have any real follow-up leaders, except maybe for UMNO itself. Mm-hmm. There are no real alternatives to the other parties. In Pejuang, it's only Mahathir, except for Datuk Mukriz Mahathir in that party.
I mean, Mahathir has already served as his own successor.
Yes, he's
serving as prime minister twice.
A successor to himself.
Yeah, so this is an ongoing conversation, right? And that's why the things like Muda and younger voters coming to the scene and just younger politicians being raised up, their profiles is important to have, because you need new leaders to come in. We need fresh blood, and we need it now.
Yes, sir. And this is something that we're going to be watching very closely to see the developments out of that opposition coalition. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin for you, followed by the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanasin speaks with Danny Leong, CEO of GHL Systems. Stay tuned for that. But first, here is the Mercedes legendary rock break. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.